Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and light.
Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we are so grateful that you have decided to tune in and celebrate alongside of us from wherever you are at. Well, if you are new with us or just checking us out online for the first time, I want to tell you one thing about Constance. We are about helping people connect with Jesus. And so if there's anything that we can do to encourage you in your walk with Jesus or help you take a next step in your faith, we would like you to send us a Facebook message to let us know. Or you could submit a prayer request to us at constancefree.org/prayer. We have a team of people who would love to pray with you with whatever you are facing, or praise alongside of you for whatever you're celebrating. Look, we believe that in the midst of these challenging times, God is still moving and active. And there is so much that we can continue to praise him for. Well, if you haven't yet already, please download the Constance app. It is a great resource to both help you follow along with today's service, as well as stay connected to everything that we're doing both online as well as in our community. And in that app, there's a section that will bring you to our online giving portal to help you participate with us and partner with us in continuing to meet these online needs as well as the ever-increasing needs in our community. You can give by clicking on the app or by going to constancefree.org/give or by sending a check to the mailing address listed below. And if you've been giving these last few weeks, we just want to say thank you so much. We truly appreciate your generosity. Well, in a few moments, Pastor Randy Disher, our senior pastor, he's going to come up here and he's going to share a message about the power of the resurrection and how that power can be available to us today through Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to hearing this message and continuing in our celebration of Easter with you today. Let's continue by singing together.
Happy Easter. It is a glorious day we celebrate today. Let's do this.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
Jesus changes everything.
I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
This is what he did.
Oh, you called my name. And I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Oh, you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
My conscience is celebrating.
Now your freedom is all that I know. The only Jesus, when I met you, oh, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I had a future. My
Easter. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And we celebrate his life as a church today. Wherever you happen to be, we celebrate the life we now live in Jesus, his resurrection, and the hope, the peace, the assurance we have because of his work on our behalf. Let's continue to sing.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began.
You redeemed us.
Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began.
Sing of his grace together, come on.
Oh, your grace so free washes over.
From my chains, I'm a prisoner no more.
My shame was a ransom, he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested in my life, oh, your grace so
Well, thanks everyone for sending those videos in. It's good to see your faces, and I look forward to seeing them in person someday really soon. Well, welcome to Constance Online Easter Celebration. On this day, like we do 364 days out of the year, the Church of Jesus Christ celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is a demonstration of God's power. And I don't know about you, but I feel a little extra power these days. And I think we all feel just a little powerless these days with the stay-at-home orders and all the things that are going along with the COVID virus. We just feel a little powerless. When I think of power, I go back to my college days. I had a 1965 2+2 Pontiac. I've got a picture of it here for you. It's not a very good picture. But you'll see I've got a 421 in it. This is a classic car now today. I don't own it anymore. But it's got three-deuce setup. For those of you that don't know what that means, it was a very fast car with three carburetors on it. So when you had fun and punched it to the floor, it's like pouring gasoline through a garden hose. It just, the tank just goes like that. That's what I think of as power. Now, you know, today, there's all sorts of cars that would be faster than that car, even though it's a classic car. But we love power. The truth of it is, it's easy for all of us to get a little enamored with human power, though. And in these days and age, I think maybe we're not quite as enamored with it. You know, one of the things we'd love to see humans do right now is to find a vaccine for this particular virus. And because we know this particular virus has caused us a lot of loss and a lot of grief. Now, I know a lot of us are fine, but it's cost us a little of piece of us in a lot of different ways. If you're a senior in high school, there's lots of things that you're losing out on. Regardless, maybe you're a young athlete and you were looking forward to this particular season and it's not going to happen now. On an adult level, there's all sorts of things that are happening that were fine, but there's loss and grief involved in it. And so on the other hand, we look in every day to the news and we're hoping some human power will find a vaccine. And now we know there's 7 different strains of this. They're starting up 7 different factories to find a vaccine. It's no sure thing right now. And so we feel uncertain. And some of that's the uncertainty of the unknown. And I think we could all use a little power these days. So I want to share with you a verse from the Bible. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, and it talks about power and the power of the resurrection and what that can mean to you and me. I want to share that with you today. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. This verse just tells us a lot about God's power, first and foremost, that he is the God of hope, this God of power, and he is wants each one of us to have that hope in our lives. And he defines that as a glorious inheritance. So it's a hope we receive now, but it's an inheritance we will get later as well. And he wants us to know, for those of us who believe, this incomparably great power in our lives. It's the exact same power that he used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, when we talk about God exerting power, we're talking about who he is in his character and person. It can't be separated from who he is. So God is all powerful. Now, what does it mean to have power? It means to have the ability to do. So when you and I have human power, and it's easy to think about all of the great things that humans have done, and we have because we're created in the image of God, but we have a human power. When we talk about God's power, we are talking about an infinite ability to do. There is no limit to his power. There is a limit to our power. But God has unlimited power, the unlimited ability to do. So what does God do with that unlimited power? This scripture passage tells us. Number one, it tells us he uses it to raise Jesus' human body from the dead. And secondly, he uses his power to seat Jesus at the right hand of God, which is the place of power. It shows that God has accepted the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf and on what God sent him to do on his behalf. So it stands as a testament to you and to me that what Jesus Christ did on the cross, God accepted, and that you and I can receive that as well. So what does this power look like to us, to you and to me? And the Bible here says, for those who believe. What does resurrection power do for you? If we need some power today, what does resurrection power do for us? Well, to help me teach this lesson from this scripture a little bit, I've brought with me some power tools. Now, these are common power tools that you can buy in sets today and all sorts of brands of them. I think ours is Rigid here. And we're going to use 3 out of that set to teach us just a little bit about what the resurrection power can do for you and for me and for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Verse 18 reminds us that the eyes of our heart could be enlightened. Means to bring light into the subject, in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you. So my first tool is light. I'm just going to show it on your light. If I point it in the camera, you'll get blinded there. But light, it's something that reveals stuff to us. That's when we use light. Whenever you need light, it's because there's something that's dark around. And light reveals stuff that's hidden in the dark. You know, one of the things in talking with people from a distance during the stay-at-home orders is that people are saying, you know, I've taken time to think and about my life a little bit. It's revealed some things. I've had people tell me that it's kind of caused a little nuance of thinking deeper than I've thought in a lot of years during this stay at home. And it reveals stuff that were hidden, this kind of stay at home. It revealed some fears maybe for some of us, some anxieties, the fact that we could be facing death or lose someone that we love. We could have a health crisis. Some have lost jobs already. These are things that reveal things in us of maybe where our hope and trust are. This issue of the unknown and causes can lead us to a form of despair. And this scripture tells us that we would be enlightened for those of us who would believe that we might know hope in our life. That God has called us, when he calls us to believe in him, he calls us to live a life of hope. Resurrection power can change your heart from despair and lostness and unknowing to one of hope. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says this, "And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So this scripture verse is telling us that God is a God of hope, and when we trust him down there, he will fill you with hope and peace and joy when you trust in him. And what overflows in your life is the overflow of hope. I want to ask you during these days, have you begun to contemplate, and we've had a lot of time to do that in the stay-at-home orders, are you seeing a hope in your life that comes from your trust in God? Has he filled you with that resurrection power to where there's joy and peace in your life? And that joy and peace fills your life, and then it fills so much that it overflows with hope. And that's an overflowing power that can touch people all around you as well. This is foundational for our well-being, to know God and to know that he has filled us with his very life and his hope. Well, I have a second tool, and you're not going to be able to see it all. You're just going to see part of it here, but this is from the same tool set, and it's a vacuum cleaner. And what vacuum cleaners do, of course, is they clean up messes, don't they? When we make a mess, it helps clean it all up, and to where it's gone, it's carried away in that container, and then it's gone for us. Well, a vacuum cleaner reminds us of the power that God has to change us from the inside out. Now, all of us, you know, as we look at this virus, we look at things around the world, we know that that reveals kind of a brokenness in the world, but we also have a brokenness in our own lives. The Bible tells us that we were born away from God. We were born with sin. And just representative of that comes some of our bad behaviors, our habits, the way we irritate other people, all sorts of stuff. Those are just outward flows of stuff that's on the inside that is separate from God and far away from God. The Bible says we're born that way, that we're born with this virus called sin that has separated us from God, and every one of us has that. And try as we would, putting all of our great power and our ingenuity into it, trying to break those habits, trying to be better, we only get minimal results. It just doesn't work, because we know really that something has to change from the inside out if we're really going to get it. We need divine power to help clean us up. Paul writes, and Paul the Apostle writes in Romans chapter 4, he tells us about how this happened. "But also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Those two verses go together. And they basically just say very simply that for those who put their faith and trust in Christ, his work on the cross, his death and his resurrection, that God credits righteousness to that person, calls that justification or to be declared right. It's sort of like if you go to a courthouse and a case is brought against you, but the judge declares you innocent. you are declared right in the sight of law. And God says, based on Jesus Christ's work, that he paid for your sin on the cross, and he broke the power of sin and death through God raising him from the dead, that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he credits righteousness to you. He declares you righteous, even though he knows good and well that you have done many sins in your life, that you are far away from God. So the vacuum cleaner reminds us that God alone can change us from the inside, that God alone can give us new heart and new life from the inside out. Well, the third tool I have here today is probably everybody's favorite. It's something that drills. This is an impact drill, and it really goes to town. These new drills can almost break your wrist off for what they want to do. They just remind me, this drill reminds me of, first of all, want to and ability. When I think about big jobs of screwing screws into wood or all day long, I worked on a construction crew before all sorts of power tools and air nailers were. Had to do a lot of hammering and a lot of screwing of screws. And I'm telling you, even back then, my wrists and my thumbs and my fingers would be sore from doing that. And I have absolutely no motivation if I have to put in 100 screws by hand to do it. And one of the things this drill reminds me of is that when the power of the resurrection comes into my life, he gives me new want to. It's the power of the resurrection is God living in us by means of the Holy Spirit. He fills us and then overflows us in such a way that I change my want to. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says this, so that, he's talking to the church in Colossae, you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit for every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. This just reminds us that he gives us the new desire to live a holy and righteous life, to produce fruit for God, doing good works for God, and allowing ourselves to be full of the knowledge of God for everything in my life. He gives me a new want to, but he also gives me new abilities. One of the things I think about when I grab onto this drill is, man, I can put 100 screws in an hour probably. I've never timed it out, but I just can zip them right in. I get a newfound ability that I don't have with a regular screwdriver in my weak old hands. And God calls us to do assignments for him. Sometimes we can't even imagine it because we've never done it. And we go, well, I don't feel like I could do that. And God opens doors and makes a way when we obey and we are full of the resurrection power. I mean, right now, it might be your marriage and you go, you know, I don't have a heart for it. And God can fill you with resurrection power and he can give you want to and the ability to follow through with your relationships. And there's all sorts of ways. I've seen that over and over again in people's lives. They might say yes to God to go on a missions trip and they go, oh, I just don't feel like I have the abilities. And truth is, we don't. But God fills us with his power by means of the Spirit and allows us to serve him in powerful ways that are beyond our abilities. I remember this is kind of true for my own life. I have kind of the gift of gab. I like to talk to people. Might be a surprise to some of you. But standing in front of people is another thing. And preaching is another thing. My dad was a preacher, and I thought he did it so naturally, and he felt so comfortable up there, but I never did. And I, like most kids, had to take a speech class in high school, and I did horribly at it, and I did not feel comfortable at all. And then I moved on to college, and I kind of felt like God was saying, you know what, I kind of want you to be a pastor. And I wasn't sure of that at all. But I said yes. And then we got to preaching classes towards the end of my college years. And I did not do well at that either. But I said yes, and, you know, I got through. Then I went on to seminary, and it was sort of like preaching online. We were in a stale classroom with six of my other friends that were in that preaching class as well, and it was like just preaching, and they were writing all the time, critiquing your sermon, and it was not comfortable, and I did not feel good at all about it. Matter of fact, the first time I got to speak in front of a congregation, it was to do one little part that was to serve communion to the place where I was doing an internship. And when I went to pull the tray up to give it to one of the servers, another tray held on underneath, and before disaster could happen, one of the servers put his hands out and caught it as it was falling off. And I'll just be honest with you, I didn't enjoy that at all. And, you know, when I took my first church, it was a small church, and we were pastoring that small church. And after a short while, I kind of came before the Lord with just a heart that said, you know what, I don't enjoy this at all, preaching. I enjoy the people and all the other work, but standing up in front of people, I just don't enjoy it. And Lord, I think you're going to have something else for me to do if you don't put enjoyment into my heart. And it was just a few weeks that the Lord allowed me to begin to enjoy being in front of people and teaching. Now, I might not be that great, but I enjoy it. And God seems to give me pleasure in the midst of it. And so I hope that comes out, that God is good when he says, I'm going to fill you with my resurrection power, and I'm going to do things through you that right now you can't even imagine. The change of abilities, our weakness for his strength, is a powerful thing. Well, all of these things remind us, it paints a great picture of what kind of hope we can have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power that he brings to our lives, that God exerted in his life and now wants to give to our life. It is great for us when that power fills us. Let me tell you, it's good for people around us too, if that overflows into their life. And it is good for our world as well to live in that kind of resurrection power and hope in our lives. Now, the weird thing about all of these tools, they're a set, is they are battery powered. If you don't have a battery, if you don't have the power, these things are absolutely worthless. As a matter of fact, they sell these things and they're really not that all expensive. They kind of come with one battery in these sets, and you got to buy extra batteries, and the batteries cost sometimes more than the tools involved. Why? Because if you don't have power, I mean, these tools aren't going to work. Nothing goes if there is no power. This is a reminder to us that God provides the power for our lives. All of us come, in essence, into this life without a battery. We come without a power source. We are born far away from God, separate from God. And the Bible tells us that we are powerless without the power of Christ in our lives. None of us have that power. And Ephesians chapter 1 reminds us that he wants this power in each and every one of our lives, that he loves us so much he sent Jesus Christ so that you could experience this kind of life, this kind of hope, joy and peace and power in your life as well. And you might be saying right where you're listening, well, I think I believe, but I don't feel like that power is in my life, though. But I believe, I know what Easter's about, and I know that Jesus died on the cross and we're celebrating his resurrection, and I've heard that storyline before, but I don't feel like I think I know it, but I don't feel like I have it in my life. And I'm telling you that God wants you to have that in your life. He died for you. He loves you. He wants you to experience that kind of life in the life you're living right now. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this very simply. For the wages of sin is death. Now, you know what wages are? Those are things you work for and earn. So what we have worked for with our lives, being separate from God and sinning and our bad habits and bad behaviors and all that sort of stuff, is going to result, it's going to pay out in death for us. And that word means separation from God here. But the gift of God, That word gift is something that's given to you. It's a form of the word grace. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that when Jesus Christ died for us, he went on the cross and paid for our sin. As we heard already, he became our righteousness, and he gives that, credits that to us. So when God looks at us, he sees Jesus Christ, not our sin, not the wages of our sin, that we can experience eternal life in our hearts and lives. And we can apply that power to our lives right now. In essence, Jesus Christ on the cross and then God raising him from the dead purchases the battery for us, makes a divine transaction so that you can have that power in your life. He says, but it's for those who trust in him, for those who believe in him. But to us, it's grace. It doesn't cost us anything. I think so many times as people think about religion and relationship with God, they think about dues. I think, what do I need to do? Do I have to work harder, serve more? What do I have to give more? What do I have to do to have a relationship with God? And you know, that's literally true of every other religion in the world except Christianity. There's rules you follow, there's teachings you follow. But we're not Christians, and I'm not a Christian today. And if you're a Christian, you're not a Christian because you follow Jesus' teaching or you follow the rules or the Ten Commandments are important to you or whatever. You're a Christian today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That historical event changed everything. That when Jesus broke the power of sin and death, he broke it for you and for me so that we could experience life. So the Christian can think more not about doing, but the word that best describes what a Christian is it's done. Jesus Christ has done it for me. He has paid the price. God demonstrates his love for me. While I was still far away from him, a sinner, he sent Jesus to die for me. It has been done for me. What I need to do is to receive it, to trust him with my whole life, to receive it into my life so that I can receive that power of the resurrection in my own life. John 3:16 tells us this, and this is one of my favorite verses. For God so loved the world, and that world is you, it's me, that he gave his one and only son, his perfect son, to die on the cross for your sin and my sin. That whoever believes in him, that's the word for trust, throws your whole life upon him, will not perish. That's such a great phrase. Will not perish, but have everlasting life. That is good, good news. Now, most of you don't know what April 12th, 1955 is all about. But it was a good news day. It was such a good news day for our nation that it was almost declared a national holiday. My dad remembers that, and he told me stories about that, about standing in gymnasiums where mothers would burst out crying as their children were brought up to the front of the line. You say, why? Why? What is this all about? 1955, April 12th, was the day that America declared polio beaten, and the vaccine that was invented by Jonas Salk was given literally then to everybody in America. And it was almost declared a national holiday. In 1955, the two greatest fears of Americans were atomic war and polio. Polio crippled kids all over the place. It was a disaster for young people. And parents were so afraid. I remember when I was just a child, I still remember kids 8 or 9 years older than me walking around with metal braces on their legs because, well, they were born later than me. They didn't get the polio vaccine like I did, to where my parents no longer feared that I would be a cripple, paralyzed all over my limbs, unable to walk sometimes. And you know, there are people even today who had polio when they were kids And now in their 70s, get a thing called post-polio syndrome, where their muscles begin to kind of degrade away because of that. But Jonas Salk invented a vaccine after the third wave of polio had hit America, and America rejoiced. And my dad said, man, when kids would get to the front of the line and they would get that vaccine in their arm, that their mothers would just break out weeping because it was good news. That disease was defeated. And the good news today on this resurrection day is that Jesus Christ has defeated sin and death, and he can defeat it for you. And it will not separate you from God. It will not take your life, but give you new and lasting and eternal life. And the Bible tells us that each one of us needs to personally trust and receive him to have this happen in our own lives. And isn't it interesting that the very words that we use and train our children in when they're young and still use to this day are words that you can use to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life? Sorry, thanks, and please. Dear God, I'm sorry. My sin has been an affront to you, and I've been an active sinner, and I've been away from you. I'm sorry for my sin. Would you forgive me? And would you please come into my heart and life? I need you to cleanse me from the inside out and forgive me. And I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin, so that I can know what it means to be filled with your power, your life, your hope, your peace. And I want that. Now I'm just going to close and lead you in a word of prayer. You can do it any way you want with the words that you want. But I want to encourage you to open your heart to God and receive this power into your heart and life, where God will say to you very personally, I love you. I died for you. You will not perish, but you will have eternal life if you put your faith and trust in me. Just want to give you an opportunity to do that right where you sit. You could use words like, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Would you please forgive me for my sin? I know that I have committed sin before you. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I receive you and trust you into my heart and life. Right now, I want to be your child, filled with your spirit. If you prayed that prayer, God heard it. Maybe no one else did, but God did. And he did exactly what he would say he would do. He would bring you full life through the resurrection power. He will forgive your sins, and he will call you a child of his. A child of God is your new name. And if you've done that, I'd like to know about it. I'd like to celebrate with you. The Bible tells us that if you acknowledge him with your mouth, that's a great thing, because God wants to be acknowledged among men and women. And so I want to encourage you, our mouth today will be a text. And you could text YES 2020 at 94,000. We would love to come alongside of you and celebrate this decision to follow Jesus Christ with you. God bless you. God loves you, and I hope to hear from you soon.
And the power of death, the power of sin, it's broken in our lives. And the name by which we are saved, it's the name of Jesus. His name, it's a beautiful name. His name, it's a wonderful name. It is a powerful name. And so if your faith is in that name, if your faith is in Jesus today, we invite you, turn up your speakers, open up your windows, stand up off your couch, and across our community this morning, this afternoon, this Easter, let the name of Jesus rise on our lips. Let's sing this last song together.
You were the Word at the beginning. What a beautiful
a great way to wrap up our service. Hey, if you are one of those people who accepted Jesus for the first time today, would you text the number to the number 94,000, the text YES 2020. We just really want to celebrate with you. Hey, we'd love to have you back next week as we start a new series called Now What? It's about leaning into God in the midst of the chaos and uncertainty, a lot of what's going on right now. So happy Easter. We'd love to see you next week. Take care.
I think this will be a good opening. Coronavirus, what brings us together online? I gotta get this to work too. Homeschooling, I'll go topic. So now all you parents know, it's not the teacher's fault. What about a guy who buys 144 rolls of toilet paper? You say to him, you got a bigger problem than just the coronavirus. You should go see a doctor. Oh, I guess these need batteries. Better practice that a little bit too. There we go. Lifestyle, how about lifestyle stuff? We're all doing lifestyle. So you realize you have a boring life when the pandemic happens and you make zero changes to your lifestyle? But we should encourage people. Whoever said that one person couldn't change the world never ate an undercooked bat. Now that's a good one. I'm laughing at that one. I think that's... Of course, the church, we're about saving people. Here we're being told all over, you could save the entire world by doing nothing and staying at home. Don't mess this up. Some of us have been doing it. Some people have been doing that for years. Maybe that would be... Let's try this one out. I haven't been getting the whole TP thing. The whole TP thing. Still unable to buy any. Went to the store the other day, Bernard's, to get some TP, and a guy was there. No TP there, but he was selling all of his last year's newspapers. I bought the whole bunch.